And it's Monday, but you can still feel the positive vibes from the big win against Duke at Cameron Indoor. Tar Heel fans will be reliving Saturday night's 84-79 win for a long time. That win came thanks in no small part to a career-best performance from Cormac Ryan. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe takes us inside Ryan's memorable night.
3 seasons ago, back when he was mostly an unknown commodity at Notre Dame, Cormac Ryan had the game of his life at Duke. He scored 28 points and made 4 threes in a 93-89 win for the Fighting Irish. Nobody was there to see it. This was the 2020-21 season, after all, better known as the COVID season. Cameron Indoor Stadium, along with hundreds of venues around the country, was completely closed to fans. When Ryan made a shot, all he could hear was the echo of the net. That was not the case on Saturday night. Ryan, now wearing a distinctly lighter shade of blue, was harassed all night by the Cameron crazies, who frequently and loudly pointed out his advanced age. Ryan, in return, harassed Duke's defense to its breaking point. He poured in a career-high 31 points and made 6 threes, matching his season high from earlier this season at Virginia. After each and every one, he turned to the crowd, or on the last occasion, Duke senior Jeremy Roach, and reveled in his masterpiece. Ryan's 2 best games as a Tar Heel have come in 2 environments that are notoriously unfriendly to Carolina: Virginia's John Paul Jones Arena and Cameron Indoor Stadium. If you're noticing a trend, it's not just you. Ryan told the Tar Heel Sports Network after the game he lives for silencing the crowd.
I think it brings it out of me. It brings it out of all of us. You kind of have no other choice but to compete when you're on the road like this, especially in this building. And I love it. I love it. I'm just so happy that we were able to get the win. And there's nothing better than just going out and competing with your best friends.
That experience and savvy is part of what drew head coach Hubert Davis to Ryan in the transfer portal. Davis has continually said Ryan's value goes beyond simply his outside shooting ability, but Saturday's display showed just how dangerous he is when that shot is falling. And Davis, like Ryan, said the latter was born to play in games like that.
There are just certain people that can play in this type of environment. You know, it just is what it is. It's the highest level. And Cormac has been here before. He's played against Duke. He's been on the biggest stage. And for him to step up like this on the road, and he got his career high, this is just amazing. I'm so happy. I'm so proud of him.
Thanks to Ryan's heroics, Carolina can now celebrate the outright ACC regular season championship for the first time since 2017. The Tar Heels had already clinched at least a share of the title earlier in the week, but clearly had no plans of sharing it with their rivals from down the road. Now, UNC is the #1 seed in the ACC tournament, and will look to earn its first championship in that competition since 2016. That win came in Washington, D.C., which just so happens to be hosting this year's tournament as well. Davis had emphasized the importance of winning a regular season title to his team as the conference race entered the home stretch. The Tar Heels are assured of hanging at least one additional banner in the crowded Smith Center rafters, but Ryan said he and the team don't intend to stop there.
Man, I mean, that was one of our goals in the beginning of the year, was win the regular season. And so that's one box we could check. And winning it outright in this building is special. It's something that we'll never forget. And we still have a lot more to be said and to be done, you know, like Coach Davis always says.
The stakes will be raised considerably from here on out. But if we're judging by precedent, that's just how Cormac Ryan likes it. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Thank you, Michael. You can find the print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Turning to local government now, we've got a lot of meetings this week and a lot of them starting today. Hillsboro's Board of Commissioners meets with an agenda that includes a discussion of urban archery to control the deer population. Pittsboro Town Board will also meet this evening. They'll get started at 6 with an agenda that includes considering an amendment to the Unified Development Ordinance. Chatham County Schools Board will also meet at 6 o'clock, and they will consider joining a national lawsuit against social media companies for the negative impacts of social media on kids and the additional costs that it has inflicted on school districts. Meanwhile, at last week's meeting of the Carrboro Town Council, A proclamation was made to help raise awareness about femicide. Carrboro Mayor Barbara Fushi spoke with 97.9 The Hill about how that proclamation came to pass.
I was in a meeting with staff from El Centro Hispano, and this came up as a topic that they were very interested in and wanted the town's support around femicide awareness, something they're very passionate about. And so we did issue that proclamation on Tuesday night at the council meeting. And El Centro staff was there to receive that. They were very grateful for the issuance of the proclamation, as well as just bringing attention to the issue of femicide, which is the murder of women, usually by partners or husbands. And so I was happy to be a part of that. I think we were the first to issue a proclamation around femicide awareness. And certainly I thought it was, you know, something that Carrboro could get behind, and so did the rest of the council. So we were happy to do that.
Carrboro Mayor Barbara Fushi speaking there. You can find the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com. Finally, an update from the animal cruelty case from Chatham County back in January. Authorities say that about 85 of the 200 dogs seized from that alleged puppy mill are now ready to head to shelters for adoption. Several rescue organizations continue to aid in the care for the dogs from that property near Bear Creek. Time now to talk sports, and we will start with some more basketball talk. Of course, UNC with that big win on the road at Duke over the weekend, and you can find that full recap outlining Cormac Ryan's great performance on chapelboro.com. And in fact, he was awarded with ACC Player of the Week for his trouble. And then we also got some bigger awards announced this afternoon. We've got R.J. Davis being named the ACC Player of the Year. We've got Hubert Davis being named ACC Coach of the Year. And also Armando Bacot and Harrison Ingram getting all-conference team honors. I believe Bacot was on the second team and Ingram on the third team. You can find more details in the news article on chapelboro.com. Also got other teams that were in action over the weekend, and it was a pretty good one for the most part. UNC baseball had a great win. Diamond Heels got a three-game sweep of Pitt to open ACC play. They were all close games, too. They won the opener 2-1, game 2 7-4, then they won game 3 6-5 in 10 innings, and it was capped off by a walk-off game winner from Anthony D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio turns and slams a long fly ball deep into right field. It'll get to the warning track. It'll send Cook around third base, and Cook slides in safe. It's a walk-off W. D'Onofrio does it for Carolina.
Dave Nathan on the call from the Tar Heels Sports Network. Casey Cook scoring the game-winning run. He also had five RBI and a three-run homer on Saturday. Carolina continues to stay hot, 14-2 on the young season. We'll put that record on the line when they host Rutgers tomorrow. Other team out on the diamond also hot, UNC softball sweeping a doubleheader yesterday against Virginia. That allowed them to take that series 2-1, and they're off to a very strong start as well. Other teams getting wins this weekend, UNC women's lacrosse beat Clemson 18-9. Men's lacrosse also won. They were able to dispatch Hofstra 21-9. Tar Heel women's tennis beat Georgia Tech and Clemson. The men lost to Virginia but beat Virginia Tech. UNC gymnastics squad fell to Kentucky on senior day, but Lolly Dekanidze took first in both vault and bars. Congratulations to her. Tar Heel wrestling team took third at the ACC Championships Sunday here in Chapel Hill. And UNC diver Aranza Vasquez Montano took first in the women's one-meter diving at the NCAA Zone B Championships in Georgia. National championships will be next week. Carolina men's track team also had a historic performance this weekend. They finished fifth at the NCAA Indoor Championships. That's their first top 10 finish since 1993. Much of the thanks for that goes to Parker Wolf. He took second in the 3,000 and 5,000 meters, and he's the first Tar Heel to ever medal in two different events in the same year. Big congratulations to him. Also, In sports adjacent news, you may have noticed a wave of sports gambling ads flooding the airwaves and screens of North Carolina in the past few weeks. That is because as of today, mobile sports betting is legal in North Carolina. State government passed a measure last summer to allow it, saying it wants to capitalize on the money being gambled illegally and try to earn legal revenues from it. In its initial year, state government estimates mobile sports betting will result in more than $64 million, and it could potentially reach $100 million by the fourth year. Steve Bittenbender is a reporter and analyst for the website Bet Carolina, which has been tracking North Carolina's path to legal sports gambling and providing tips to those who want to explore gambling options. In a recent interview with 97.9 The Hill, he said it made sense that those numbers are so high, and he could even see it exceeding state estimates on the state's, given the state's connection to sports.
You're going to see, I think, North Carolina become one of the top sports betting states in the country within a few months. The reason why I say that is you take a look at the population of North Carolina. It's one of the more populated states in the country. And it's especially so when you take a look at the sports betting states. There's 38 sports betting states now. North Carolina actually has been one for a while, but that's just been limited to brick-and-mortar sports books at the tribal casinos with the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians and the Catawba Nation. So it's really been only available in remote parts of the state. But now, obviously, this will give people from Asheville to Greenville and everywhere in between a chance to place a bet on their phone or laptop. And you're going to see a lot of activity, especially with the NCAA tournament coming up. A lot of Carolina fans, a lot of Blue Devil fans will be getting on to put bets on their team. You now have the Hornets in basketball. You have the Panthers in football. You have the Hurricanes in hockey. You've got an MLS team, and you've got a women's pro soccer team as well in the Courage. So there are plenty of teams that have strong support bases, strong fan bases in the state. That will help.
Steve Bittenbender of BetCarolina.com speaking there. That full conversation, which includes more about North Carolina's regulation of sports gambling and what to expect now that it's live in the state, that full conversation can be found in transcript form on chapelboro.com. And also wanted to throw in there as well in that transcript on chapelboro.com, you can also find the number for the Gambling Addiction Helpline. And that number is 877-718-5543. That's North Carolina's Problem Gambling Helpline. Again, that number, 877-718-5543.